Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, Jaya Kumar, and Abyaz Karim. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist Christine Laurie, and here are your local news headlines.
The proposal for a soccer stadium at the Memorial Centre has officially been withdrawn, marking the end of a contentious debate that captured the attention of many Kingston residents. The news of a potential FIFA-grade stadium at the Memorial Centre sparked community debate in January, as community members, councillors, and the developer Victory Grounds Ventures grappled with concerns from neighbours including loss of green space, noise, and traffic, and the opportunity to support local sports organisations and potential economic benefit. When brought before council, it was ultimately decided that the city and Victory Grounds Ventures would explore the idea. However, just before next steps for development were meant to come before council, Victory Grounds Ventures announced that they have withdrawn the proposal. Victory Grounds Ventures managing partner Paul Barbeau spoke with CFRC following the announcement.
What were some of the factors that ultimately led to this decision to withdraw the proposal at the Memorial Centre?
So I think the key issue is there could be some pending legal issues between the city and another party. And we felt that that could delay the project and cause other issues, so we felt it wasn't right at this time to continue.
While details of the legal issues remain under wraps, the project likely would have faced other obstacles, including pushback from the community and councillors. Williamsville Councillor Vincent Chinani shared his thoughts on the news that the stadium will not be taking shape on the green space in his district.
It was a relief because there was a lot of tension in the community, and it just really wasn't an appropriate development for that area anyway. So it's a relief that we don't have to go down that way and then have it probably fail at council, most likely. Or I don't know how the other ones would have voted, but I would have been pushing for it to not go through. So that location is very well used. It has like a lot of uses, and it was actually a vision to revitalize the whole area. And now that's what we're going to be focusing on again, back onto that plan. But it's not like we don't want his project here. I mean, there's probably other locations that would be much more suitable, as opposed to like somewhere that's very dense area there's not a lot of parking, and it just would have been a lot of people in a very small like area.
Moving forward, Chinani also noted he is hoping to put measures in place to protect the property at the Memorial Centre.
And I try to push it so that nothing like this can happen again, because this is the third time that as a proposal that comes for the Memorial Centre, and it causes a lot of outrage. So now if we can get a plan in place and then just say, okay, this is what it is and this is what it has to be, and kind of also discourage anything like that from happening again and protect the area, that would be the goal.
Despite the setback, Barbeau says that Victory Grounds Ventures still has sights set on a stadium and Premier League team in Kingston.
And are you now considering other areas in the city for the stadium?
So I signed an exclusivity agreement with the city that expires in May. So I'm not allowed to speak to any other party until the city releases me from that agreement. But through this process, we have identified two potential locations, and we're interested to speak to those landowners to see if it is a fit. You know, one of the things this last month and a half, 2 months has done is solidified that this is a project that can work in Kingston. Over and over we heard the population is excited about this project. It was just Memorial Centre wasn't the right site, and I agree with that. Memorial Centre was not the right site for this project. So, you know, the city itself is excited by this and looking to support it, and all that I've seen in the last 2 months is exactly just supporting all the assumptions that I made prior.
I was wondering, because I know there is a deadline, does this take Kingston out of the running for having a Premier League team in the near future, or does that just sort of push the date a little further into the future?
Yeah, so it just pushes the date a little bit into the future. So, you know, the CPL is expanding in 2026. Obviously, we won't make that date. And Marnie said as much when she spoke at the council meeting back in January. So, you know, we're looking at either a 2027 or 2028 start. For League One, we are already speaking to some other potential locations that we can play out of for 1 to 2 years before we have our stadium built. So we have a plan already worked out for the two leagues, and we're confident that we will be able to get them both up and running most likely by 2027.
This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Good evening, folks. I'm Abiyaz from CFRC News, and you are listening to our segment Campus Corner. Here we bring you the latest updates from Queen's Campus. Joining me today is Dr. Amanda Bongers, Seminar Coordinator for the Department of Chemistry at Queen's University. She is here to talk about an upcoming seminar by Dr. Jeffrey Moore. The seminar is titled Space Manufacturing Materials for Fabrication of High-Performance Composites, taking place this Friday, March 21st, over Zoom. The talk will explore innovative resin chemistry for sustainable and efficient space-based manufacturing. Good evening, Dr. Bongers. Thanks for joining us in studio today. So can you share a brief overview of your seminar and explain why this topic matters?
So the seminar we're hosting this week is with Dr. Jeffrey Moore from the University of Illinois, and he'll be talking about his work in space manufacturing. And really, this is under the broader umbrella of materials chemistry, which, you know, like other areas of chemistry, is all about understanding how the interactions of molecules at microscopic or even submicroscopic, so the atomic level, can end up influencing really large-scale properties like durability, flexibility, and things like that. And specifically, materials in space are going to require really different properties. They have to be very durable under harsh conditions and perform in really unique ways.
That sounds super interesting. So speaking of the lecturer, Dr. Jeffrey Moore, what made him the ideal choice for this lectureship?
So this lectureship is an annual one in honor of Dr. Kenneth Russell, who was in our department at Queen's from 1956 until he retired in 1990. As in, I understand, his projects even continued on after that. And he was a world-renowned chemist who studied polymers, which are materials like rubber or plastics. And he did some of the really, truly fundamental work in understanding how to make them and their properties. So similarly, Dr. Moore, who we've invited, is very renowned for his huge and very broad body of work. And it really shows the impact of material science. So Dr. Moore has published in and done head projects in areas related to batteries or designing materials derived from nature, and some work on self-healing polymers, which is really cool. I was reading that his team had designed a responsive material that can self-heal damage from the size of a bullet hole. So you can imagine how that kind of thing could be really interesting and important for a material up in space.
Right.
And so we're going to hear about his more recent work in high-performance materials for space. He's a leader for many decades in the in just science in America. And also I wanted to mention that the other thing about Dr. Russell, who this lectureship is named after, was that he was known for being a really great educator and giving very engaging lectures. And so we often have that consideration when we're choosing our Russell lecturer. And Dr. Moore has received awards for excellence in undergraduate teaching, was recognized as a faculty ranked excellent by their students. And he's also published research in how to bring technology into chemistry classrooms. So this was really important in choosing Dr. Moore for this lectureship.
Wonderful. So speaking of space manufacturing, why is this topic important for the scientific community and more specifically for the students at Queen's?
So the need to manufacture in space, as I understand, is because it's really expensive and tricky to near impossible to build things and then launch them into space. So it's better to build them there. But in space, you don't really have the instruments and tools like 3D printers that we have at Queen's. And you also have those really harsh conditions. So there's all those extra requirements. I think that this research and this topic covers a lot of really interesting aspects related to engineering and chemistry and design. Dr. Moore and his team aren't really stopping there. In his lecture, he's going to talk about making sure the materials that they're sourcing in their chemistry are from current waste streams. So trying to take current waste and turn them into something valuable. And that's really important to our Department of Chemistry because we have a big commitment to green chemistry. And he's also designing materials to deconstruct and be reused, which is super important when you consider preventing space debris. So I feel like this interdisciplinary work really ends up touching on a lot of different areas of interest for the scientific community and students at Queen's.
Amazing. Can you talk a bit about the opportunities that Queen's University provides for students interested in getting involved in such research?
So there are a lot of research opportunities in this area. I think, well, it's so interdisciplinary that we have research in chemical engineering, and we also have the research in our chemistry department, which is actually very materials focused. We have a new institute, actually, the Carbon to Metal Coating Institute, that has a huge focus in designing functional materials. And let's see, there's also the Department of Physics, where Department of Chem and Physics have a lot of collaboration and connection. And physics has a really strong astrophysics program, launching things into balloons, launching things into space. So there's a lot of research opportunities for sure for students. And also I know a lot of clubs that are interested in these kind of things. So, Dr. Moore's work, it was actually just announced, and it was after we had invited him. It's this big announcement that their work is kind of being accelerated, and they're going to be launched into space in April 2026 for the first in-space demonstration of their materials in action.
Wow.
And so it shows that, the big implications of this work, and I know there's a lot of student groups involved in space, in design, in kind of 3D manufacture, and the fundamental chemistry that underlies it. So I think there's a lot of ways people can get involved. And
that's great. So if anyone from our audience wants to join the seminar, how can they do it?
Definitely reach out to the Department of Chemistry if you're hoping to attend the talk, because we can send you the Zoom link. So it's this Friday, March 21st. It starts at 11:30 a.m. and it will be a virtual talk on Zoom.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Bongers, for joining us in studio today. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And that's a wrap, folks. I'm Abias from CFRC News, and you are listening to our segment, Campus Corner. Stay tuned for more updates. Over to Isabella for sports after.
This is Jesse Bell with your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Wednesday, March 19th, it's going to be back into the double-digit temperatures, 12 degrees and sunny, dropping down to 4 overnight with a 30% chance of precipitation. Thursday, March 20th, we're going to see a daytime high of 7 degrees, and there is a 60% chance of showers throughout the day. Friday, March 21st, it's going to be 3 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud. Saturday, March 22nd, a little bit warmer at 9 degrees. It will be cloudy, dropping down to as low as -2 overnight. Sunday, March 23rd, daytime high of 5 degrees and it will be cloudy. And Monday, March 24th, high of 7, but a 40% chance of precipitation. This is Jesse Bell with your City of Kingston traffic report. Reminder that reduced load restrictions are in effect in Kingston as of March 1st. Heavy trucks and loads are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions help reduce damage to roads in the spring. A complete list of roads with restrictions can be found in the Traffic Bylaw section of the City of Kingston website. Road closures. Aberdeen Street, William 2 Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Work is still ongoing at the Hanson Memorial parking structure. This work will take place throughout all levels of the building and will include efforts such as routine structural maintenance, repainting, replacement of waterproofing materials, and upgrades to the building's mechanical and electrical systems. The work is planned to conclude in July 2025. Here are some other delays to be aware of. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage to improve safety and efficiency for all road users and to accommodate increased traffic coming from the Wobbin Crossing.
Hello, I'm Henry Walker, CFRC intern from the Queen's Department of History. Here's today's concert and events calendar. Starting with concerts, on Wednesday, musician Ariel Posen will be playing at the Broom Factory from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Tickets are available online for $25 on Eventbrite. Also on Wednesday, Hotel Wolf Island will host its weekly open mic night starting at 8:30 with host Mike Rackins. On Thursday, folks can head down to the Broom Factory at 7 p.m. to catch Cancer Bats, Teeth, and Mile End. Tickets for this concert are available for around $25 on TicketScene. Trailer Swift Band will be playing at the Buttle from 8 to 11 p.m. also on Thursday night. On Friday, Coletta and Super Yamba Band will be playing a concert at the Broom Factory from 7:30 to 10 p.m. Tickets are available for around $35 on Eventbrite. Also on Friday, the Toucan will be hosting a free acoustic evening with Johnny Kirawan running from 5 to 8 p.m. On Saturday, Devin Cole will be playing a show at the Broom Factory starting at 7 p.m. Tickets are available online for roughly $20 plus fees on TicketScene. The band Chelsea Road will be playing at the Buckle from 9 to 12:30. Also on Saturday, the band Cabbage will be returning to the Grad Club with their show starting at 8 p.m. Tickets are available online for between $15 and $20 on Eventbrite. On Sunday, folks can head down to the Buckle between 5 and 7 to catch their free open mic. Savannah Shea will be playing at Musiki between 4:30 and 6:30. And finally, Angelia Hewitt will be performing at the Isabel Bader Center at 2:30 with tickets available online for between $15 and $72 on the Isabel Bader's website. Have a concert you would like to add to our online and on-air concert calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. Once again, this is Henry, CFRC intern for the Department of History, continuing with this week's events calendar. On Wednesday, One Eye Jats will be hosting board game night starting at 7. Additionally, The Mansion will be hosting karaoke starting at 9. The Champions of Magic show will be coming to Kingston, where they'll be performing at Slush Puppy Place starting at 5 p.m. Tickets for this show will be available on their website, championsofmagictour.com, for between $48 and $119. Also on Wednesday, both Something in the Water and Daft Brewing will be hosting their trivia night starting at 7 p.m. Folks can also head down to Musiki, which is hosting its weekly life drawing event. Don't forget to bring your own art supplies and $5 and participate in uninstructed life drawing. On Thursday, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 to 4 p.m. in Springer Market Square. Also on Thursday, the Out in Front Weekly Run Group has a public run starting downtown at 6:15 p.m. in front of Runner's Choice. All people are invited regardless of ability, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Daft Brewing will be hosting its second annual, post-COVID, Kingston Young Professional Networking event on Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. This event itself is free, although it is suggested that you reserve a spot through Eventbrite. Daft Brewing will also be hosting Queerioki starting at 8 p.m. There's a $5 cover charge at the door. On Friday, The Buckle and Daft Brewing will both be hosting their weekly free karaoke nights. Doors open at 9. Also on Friday, the Frontenats will be playing the Brantford Bulldogs at Slush Puppy Place with their game starting at 7 p.m. Tickets are available online on Ticketmaster, at stores as listed on the Frontenats website, or at Slush Puppy Place itself. On Saturday, fourth-year students from Queen's University's MAPP, Media and Performance Production Program, will be performing a showcase of their culminating pieces at the Isabel Bader Center from 3 to 8 p.m. This is a free performance. Also on Saturday, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. On Sunday morning, the Runner's Choice Lawn Run starts downtown outside their store at 8:20 a.m. All ages and paces are welcome. And finally, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 to 1 p.m. at Memorial Center. Have an event you would like to add to our online and on-air event calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at cfrcmusic on Instagram using the link tree in our bio.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.